Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, so like I said, that was kind of a strange text I just read. So what's going on, and maybe more importantly, why should you care? Well, to the first question, the text is really a tailpiece to a parable that Ezekiel relates, and then he actually starts to interpret in the rest of the chapter, Ezekiel 17. And so the text is also a parable, and its language is symbolic. The sprig, the tree, the mountain, the branches, the fruit, the birds, the other trees of the field all stand for something that you are supposed to figure out. And you can figure it out from what Ezekiel has already said earlier in the chapter. We can't go into any detail here, but basically in chapter 17, Ezekiel uses this parable to prophesy that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, would defeat Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and then destroy Jerusalem. Now our text says just the opposite. It prophesies that God would reverse that judgment upon his kingdom. God would restore the kingdom that he had destroyed. From the rest of the chapter, we can guess that the sprout that the text is talking about refers to one of the descendants of David, whom God will replant on Zion in Jerusalem. In other words, the uprooting of the Zedekiah vine would have its counterpart in the planting of another king, and his kingdom will grow into this noble cedar. In other words, the kingdom will flourish under this king, and all the other nations, that is, the trees in the field, will know that Yahweh keeps his promise to his people. So the uprooting of Zedekiah, countered by the planting of another Davidic king, will prove the truth of the final verse of the text. I abase the high tree and exalt the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree bud. God controls the rise and fall of the nations, and Israel's destiny is in his hands. Now, the case can be made from Israel's history that this testimony to God's power came true, because in 586, Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem and captured Zedekiah. He burned the temple to the ground. He brought low the high tree. And the counterpart to the event predicted in our text happened 50 years later. Zerubbabel, the grandson of King Jehoiachin, led other exiles out from Babylon back to Jerusalem and commenced the rebuilding of the second temple. So Zerubbabel is the counterpart to the uprooting of Zedekiah. Here God did what he said, I make the dry tree flourish. Well, the history lesson does make a kind of fine story, doesn't it? But it's not very inspiring. It's kind of a remote event, as is the God who is said to have been behind it. It's not something that any of you, I don't think, would normally give your life for. Unless God comes closer to us in this word, unless he somehow demands our attention, then the history lesson is probably less than interesting. So why should you care? Well, we can begin to extend the reach of the text if we link it to a warning that Jesus gives us. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If we see that what Ezekiel says about Yahweh's power to cut a tree down or raise a tree up is much like what Jesus says about God's power to cut off or sustain the branches on this vine, then the text begins to sound like something to which we ought to pay attention. What if Jesus is the twig that God plants on Zion? What if he is ultimately the one that Ezekiel is really talking about? What if he is Isaiah's shoot from the stock of Jesse, or the root from dry ground, or Jeremiah's righteous branch? Then Ezekiel can't be relegated to the ancient past, because unlike the other kings, God didn't give Jesus political and economic power that was limited to a human lifetime. He didn't lop Jesus off and then simply replace him with another descendant of David. That, of course, is a familiar enough cycle. The story of Jesus, however, doesn't continue along the usual track of the ups and downs of the Davidic dynasty, or the usual cycle of the poverty and prosperity of the nation. The story of Jesus ends in his resurrection from the dead and his ascension to the right hand of his heavenly Father. You see, that turns everything upside down. Jesus can't be so easily relegated to the dustbin of history because he is alive, and as he himself said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus rose from the dead. That event makes us look sideways at today's text. That word of God, I, the Lord, abase the high tree, I exalt the low tree, I dry up the green tree, and I make the dry tree bud, extends from God's control over the rise and fall of Israel's kings to the death and resurrection of his own son. God raised this king up from the dead. He made the withered tree bud in a way that we never could have imagined. And now, this king lives and reigns over all things. His kingdom has a character that surpasses our understanding. Its blessings are eternal. And I mean that literally. Now maybe you can begin to see that God is talking right to you through Ezekiel. He's not just describing a kingdom that came and went centuries ago. He is describing a kingdom that is among us right now. Jesus reigns in the present, and he has all authority. The authority to dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish is his. And as he has said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You see, that is a compelling thought. But abide in him is what God in his grace has given to you. You, although a wild olive shoot, says Paul, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. You belong to Jesus, the ruler of death and life. God has given you his word in your baptism, and he promises to make it stick right through until your own resurrection from the grave. Your king rose, and he has the authority to raise you along with him. And as he has said to you, whatever you wish, it will be done for you. You are the branches of a noble cedar indeed. So you see, the text is surely a precious word to us. At its very end, God says, I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. And in raising Jesus from the dead, and in giving us a place in that eternal vine, we say, wow, he has done it. And he's done it for me. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus. Amen.